Rajab, we are aware that just yesterday there was a press release by the Election Commission led by Professor Abednego about the $6 million released and maybe purchase of an election office. What do you want to say about this? What does this mean to South Sudan?
I would say that this, it is important to hear from the National Elections Commission, because all along people hear from different other sectors, departments and offices, both within and outside the country on matters of elections. And so information that comes directly from the National Elections Commission is important there, because it then gives us an understanding of what the commission is doing and where it stands with regard to the conduct of elections in the country. But generally, that press statement doesn't mean much for the people of South Sudan. It doesn't mean so much in several ways. Number one, the Elections Commission has not been actively engaging in electoral processes. All of these processes you can talk about on elections, issues to do with this civic education they are talking about now, registration of voters and, you know, establishing presence and offices in the various constituencies, if they are demarcated already, and training the electoral officials. All of these things have not been happening. So I would describe this press conference of yesterday as a situation like passengers in a village have been expecting to travel, and there is a vehicle that has been grounded for a very long time without a gearbox, without a radiator, without injector pump, without tires. And suddenly, the driver gets a very new radiator, but of course the injector pumps are still missing, the gearbox is missing, the tires are all missing, and he holds a press conference to tell the passengers that finally we are almost ready to move, to get the vehicle to move. So this is the kind of the situation that we're in.
Okay, what is the meaning of such press release that has been done to you, according to the government of South Sudan? Are the election going to be really realistic in less than 6 months? Do you think it is going to be possible to do the election, or what is the government up to?
We have gone through this experience before. The government has been using a similar template before, where, you know, as they approach a deadline, for example, on the transitional period, they would initiate processes or activities that would kind of present justification for more time in order to complete those activities. So my thinking about this particular arrangement now, with the resource being given to the National Elections Commission at this point, when time is already running out for this extended transitional period, is to show that, yes, the government is now serious and engaging in preparations for elections, and because time is not enough, therefore they may need a little more time and patience from everyone within and beyond the country to be able to complete these important processes and to conduct elections. So this, in my view, serves as a justification that now there is interest, or what you may say, renewed interest to conduct elections. Efforts are underway and activities are running, but time is not enough, and therefore you need more time to be able to accomplish these tasks and conduct elections. So I would say that this is a way of trying to find justification to get more time to continue.
Will this be maybe seeking for international support or maybe on the roadmap towards the election? Do you think the international community will be able to support this, or maybe ask for the roadmap if this is going to happen?
Well, at this point, point. First of all, I don't see election as a matter of priority for the political establishment in Juba. What is at stake, which is more of a priority to them, is to get a new lease of extension, some form of legitimacy to continue running the system. And so this could appeal this latest disbursement of resources to the National Elections Commission would actually serve as a message to definitely the international actors and the region to support you may call the electoral process and anything that comes with it, including the demand for more time to accomplish these activities. That would be the reading of the situation. I don't see this activity and the resource disbursed to the commission as really being goodwill to conduct elections at this point, because this resource has come extremely late, definitely, and I would also say that it is very limited compared to the overall budget that the National Elections Commission wanted to conduct the elections, something to the tune of over $200 million or so. So what they have secured is extremely limited, and it has come at a time when the commission has been struggling, the commission and almost all other institutions have been struggling without meaningful resources to sustain themselves. So this resource is definitely going to simply cover a lot of their arrears, in my view, and maybe provide some form of insurance for the uncertain future, and there may be very little to do with civic and voter education.
Rajab, if the election are to happen today, what does this mean to what is the government looking for? Is it a way of getting rid of the vice presidents, or maybe trying to legitimate itself again? What does this mean if the election are to happen in December?
But if elections were to happen in December, it would depend on you would read the intentions from the way the processes are undertaken. Whether political parties are allowed to freely register, and if they are allowed to conduct electoral activities as well. This would mean reaching out to their constituencies, constituencies, or to their to the public generally around the country, to mobilize their campaign agents, mobilize the population, hold rallies, and all of that. When you do not see this happening, you do not see the political parties reaching out to the public, reaching out to the offices. The offices are dormant everywhere within the national capital and down in the states. It is a way of limiting their ability to participate in any serious electoral process. And so, as it stands now, there is no sign that any of the political parties, registered or not registered, is engaging in any meaningful electoral activity. Is reaching out to the population, is reaching out to its own members to organize. You may have definite campaign period that is always announced, but way before the campaign period is announced, political parties should be able to organize meetings in their respective offices throughout the country. They should be able to hold rallies to their members and supporters. So if these things are not happening, it is an indication of the limitation of all the actors that are not allowed to engage with the public. So it's a controlled environment. And when you control an experiment, for example, you have a particular outcome that is desired. So I would look at it in that manner.
Rajab, if IO, who is known to be the main maybe opposition to the government of South Sudan, is not part of the election, do you think the election will go ahead and happen, since they have not yet registered as a political party?
If there is intention to conduct elections without the IO, the elections may be conducted without the IO. It has always been a very tactful move. If you look at it and read the whole situation of the implementation of the agreement, you would see that there are lots of obstacles laid along the way for the IO. I do not see a situation where the IO is going to freely run around the country organizing and mobilizing and holding public rallies, effectively engaging. First of all, there are lots of obstacles on their way already. Obstacle number one is what you now see as the challenge with their political leadership, the detentions and the court proceedings. Obstacle number two is with registration. The IO still holds a military force, which by the provisions of the election laws may not allow them to register when they hold, when they have a standing army, which should have by now been integrated fully if the security regiments were to have been conducted. So this keeps them away from registering as a political party. The third is the name itself. And I don't see IO registering with the name SPLM-AIO. The name may restrict them from registration. I remember I was SPLM-DC. And it wasn't registered as SPLM-DC. It was the SPLM was dropped because that this name was already taken. So when you look at all of these obstacles, it is difficult to see an open space, political space for the IO to participate if elections were to be conducted anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. Rajab, what are the legal gaps in this situation that might prevent election not to happen?
Well, there are quite a number of things. The constitution itself should have been developed. According to the peace agreement, the constitution was, the elections were to be conducted under the provision of a new constitution, which in a way would repeal most of these the various positions that were created as a result of the agreement, and then define also the aspect of elections, and that would then also need to be incorporated. Those changes that would come in the new constitution should have been incorporated into the National Elections Act to then define the how these elections would be fully, would be conducted. And so the amendments would be required to be done also in the National Elections Act. The Elections Act was amended recently, you might recall, but there were also issues still with these amendments. And so these amendments require, these two documents need to be addressed or enacted or reviewed and amended in order to provide the elections processes the legal grounding for them to be conducted. Unfortunately, none of this is happening. The attempts to do an amendment recently has also kind of flopped or delayed. So we have those whole issue with the legal frameworks, both the Constitution and the National Elections Act. You then have a situation even with the voters' education. The civic education, and if you want to narrow it down to voters' education, you need the laws enacted fully, and then use the provisions of the law and also what you may call the regulations, which would be further guidelines produced to operationalize the Elections Act itself. Now, these regulations and the Elections Act and all of this would need to be part of the voter education because they define specifically what the voters would do. All of these things have not been conducted or produced. So the civic education, if it is done, would be at on a very broader scale level, but not specific enough in terms of this the aspects of the law defining how these processes should go. So there's just a lot that has not been done in this case. So clearly you would say that we are still very, very far away from the conduct of elections.
And what will this mean to the areas inaccessible where maybe the agents will not be able to access those areas, maybe due to logistics or maybe insecurity? What will this mean to this population?
Well, there are quite a number of complications on this. Complication number one is the ordinary logistical difficulties in a rainy season and accessing the various locations with the difficulty of roads and all that may definitely be a problem. And this is natural. This is a logistical challenge. But when you come to the security situation, that in itself is challenging. If there are armed groups who are not participating in the elections or who do not approve of the processes, they are all definitely going to complicate the situation. So that is one definite aspect that would affect the elections officials. And also, it may affect candidates who may want to go and campaign in those constituencies.
Mm.
So you have a situation where either candidates risk going to areas that may be extremely hostile and they risk their lives, or you may consider, holding the elections in some parts of the country, but not in the whole country. So that would be the difficulty you would have. As it stands now, really it is not guaranteed which areas are safe enough to conduct elections and which areas may be very hostile. But definitely there are areas where it will be difficult to go and conduct electoral activities, register voters, organize constituencies, and then go and campaign in some of those locations when there are active, violence on some of these locations.
Mm-hmm. Rajab Mwandi, do we have enough time for voter registration and maybe even census? We are not sure which census is going to be used. Is this time enough in less than 5 months to election to have this voter registration happening? And also maybe the census?
Attempt to delink what they say, delink census from the elections process, delink the constitution making process from the elections process, and all of that. And so, if they delink these, they may not need to worry about that. But definitely, the national population census at this point is extremely an important determining factor for credible elections, because the reason you have credible data, especially in terms of the population, is not just because this is necessary to have the names of people, but it is also part of guaranteeing the credibility of the elections. Mm-hmm. When you do not have reliable data, people can cook the data and therefore influence the credibility of the elections, which means you can even easily rig the elections if the figures are not correctly or clearly known. So that is one aspect. The second aspect with regard to the voters, I mean the population census, is that it is not practical to conduct national population census within this remaining time in order to use it to determine, the populations for the constituencies. And so that in itself is a big challenge. But overall, all the aspects necessary to conduct election, all the preparatory work have not been done. But that is even not the issue. those technical aspects, like issues of the voters registration and all of these, are not the real issues. The real issue, in my view, is that there is just no interest to conduct elections in South Sudan at the moment. Because if these parties go for elections, there is, and these elections are held more freely in a very, in an atmosphere of in an atmosphere where citizens are able to really cast their ballots in their own interests, there's the certainty that most of these political leaders will never come back to government. And they seem to be avoiding this kind of a situation. So it is a political decision not to organize elections. This explains why the Elections Commission has not been funded all this while. The necessary preparations have not been done. It's not because of technical issues. It is a political decision not to conduct the elections. Otherwise, if it comes to the issue of funding, funding has been there in excess to conduct war, to fight war, to procure military assets, both ground and air military assets, to fund forces to be able to engage in combat. And those resources, you can estimate them to be way far than what has been given to the National Elections Commission. So the fact that these resources were available for war but not available for the electoral processes indicates where the interests of the political leaders lie. It is where they invest the resources. And so election to them has not been a priority. This election now is being talked about at this moment, not necessarily because there is interest to hold elections, but because of the issue of the looming question of loss of legitimacy, that should a transition period come to an end without the elections, then the institutions established by the agreement would lose legitimacy. And therefore, the struggle to try to find legitimacy is what is now bringing the question of, or the agenda of the elections on the table.
So, Rajab, does South Sudan really have technical and technological expertise to hold this election?
Well, there is not so much difficulty with holding elections. South Sudan can hold elections. There is sufficient expertise to do that. And that is one. Internally, there is expertise to conduct, to hold elections. And also externally, there is a lot of goodwill to support the conduct of elections. So taking the elections officials through the process of training, especially the field officers who would be running the activities in the constituency, it is always a training for all of these officials anytime election is conducted. And so there is capacity to do that. At least for now, definitely the infrastructure is not in place effectively. The commission, the officials established, the high commission, elections high committees in the states that were established were abandoned all this while. And there is no guarantee that those who were appointed in those portfolios are still sitting there waiting indefinitely for the elections. They might have definitely taken up other responsibilities and they may be busy elsewhere. So the infrastructure definitely has not been adequately organized, but that is in itself not a challenge, because if you want to get the people, we have most of our young people, graduates, who are redundant right now, who are jobless. This would be an opportunity for them to flood, present themselves to be recruited, to be offered the training to do this. So this technical aspect could be conducted. So it is not a serious obstacle. But of course, now, even the time left, it is unrealistic to be able to build the necessary infrastructure throughout the country, the committees, the officials, and everyone, train them all within the remaining period to conduct elections.
Rajab Mohandas, as PCCA have been longing and also activists, civil society, trying to seek peace in South Sudan by non-violence way. What is your parting shot message to the South Sudanese and the government of South Sudan and international community as well during this time? I'll just give you this time maybe to have a message to them.
Well, first, to the political leaders of South Sudan, and particularly the president and the officials in government, they have failed the people of South Sudan all this while, and there is need to reflect on this, that South Sudanese committed themselves to get this country created, and there is need to ensure that their aspirations are reflected in the agenda of the government, that the country can no longer continue the way things are running as of now. So there is need to change course. Number two, for the general public, the South Sudanese citizens, this situation that the country is going through is unbearable and quite unacceptable. And this puts the whole country and the people at so much risk of both internal and external threats. And therefore, there should be a collective responsibility on the side of all the citizens to ensure that they contribute to a situation that the country changes course. And to the external nationals, it's now very clear that the RRCs has been deliberately sabotaged. Its implementation has been deliberately sabotaged, and there is a need for a reset, which would require getting back to the drawing board for all the actors involved to begin to look at what needs to be done differently. And what may need to be done differently would require necessarily the aspect of building consensus amongst South Sudanese and having the actors in the region and the wider international community supporting in terms of enforcement and also in terms of consequences for those who want to continue to obstruct peace in South Sudan. That this can no longer continue like this, but there must be consequences directly on individuals and groups that want to continue to obstruct peace in there. Yes, so an important aspect for the regional and international actors in to support South Sudan at this moment to realize peace is to unify their contributions to peace in South Sudan. And it is important that the African Union has taken up this responsibility through its high representative to the Horn of Africa and the Red Sea, President Kikwete, that this becomes a unified approach to support the peace process in South Sudan, and it should necessarily pull in the region, especially countries like Uganda, Kenya, and Ethiopia, who are members of IGAD and, of course, the AU, to work together on a single unified process to support peace in South Sudan. That other support elements from the rest of the international community should be channeled through such an initiative so that there is consensus on how to support peace in South Sudan, and that this consensus is channeled through a single process. Thank you.